Worship team is not over. Is it finished? You know, these last days, there's a song that kept, you know, coming and keeping me connected to heaven, keeping me connected to, you know, it's a very, very simple song. Very, very, very simple song. Few words. It says this: you're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. I can see some people are laughing because smiling because, you know, I'm not a singer. But we can sing to God, isn't it? We can sing to Jesus. You're all I need. Come on. One more time, you're all I need. You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all. Sharing the good news with this town a few weeks ago on Saturday, and I met a guy and I approached the guy. He was rushing to go. I want to kind of engage in conversation with him, and he didn't have time. He was rushing to go, and I stopped him. I said, come on, just wait a moment. Wait a moment. Can I talk to you? He said, yes. And I started a conversation with him. Do you know Christ? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? He said, I used to go to church. I used to go to church many years ago. I used to go to church. But what happened? What about now? He said, my father died a few years ago. My father died, and I stopped going to church. My father died, and I stopped believing in God. He said, my father died. He was my friend, my best friend, but he died. And I couldn't comprehend why he died. He was young, but I couldn't comprehend why. Why? And he wanted to kind of rush in again. I need to go. I said, look, give me one moment, please. Give me one moment. You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I know exactly, maybe not exactly, but I know what you are talking about. I can identify with your pain. I can feel your pain. I know what you are talking about. I say, look, many years ago, I became Christian, you know, and about 9 months after I gave my life to Christ on Sunday the 14th of 2003, I was giving my testimony at church. Right at church, in front of the church, I was giving my testimony. And then back in Africa on that Sunday, my mother had a car accident. 4 of them were in the car. She was the only one who passed away. The only one. And I say, look, I know what you are talking about. But that doesn't define God's love and purposes for you. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus, he's all I need. I say, look, the amazing thing is that after that moment, the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit that I felt is nothing that I felt before. This Jesus is real. This Jesus is tangible. This Jesus is palpable. This Jesus gives life and he gives hope. He can sustain you in any situation if you allow him. You know, this morning I felt that in this place there are pain and sorrows. There are pains and sorrows. There are questions. But Lord, why? Why? How? But Lord, it's not fair. You've lost everything. You lost something that, or somebody that is very important to you. And the pain is sharp. It's so heavy. But Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need, and he's here today, and he want to do you good. If you're not home, Jesus is here, and he is with you. He want to do you good. Whether it is sickness, whether it is loss, pain, disease, Jesus wants to do you good. Today is your day. Today is your day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we proceed this morning, I want to invite you to stay connected. Stay in the river. Stay connected. Your miracle is just right here because Jesus is here. Stay. Be focused. Amen. Voila. Now, by virtue of obedience, I want to preach this morning. I want to share this morning because Pastor Robin has asked me so to share about the new wine. So I wasn't able to share, you know, develop my sermon a few weeks ago. But you know, the topic about the new wine is so vast. There is a huge practical application that we must follow. We must see. We must, you know, dig into. And I will not be able to touch those points today. This is obedience also, is it? So, what I'm planning to do, let's see how the Holy Spirit will lead us. Because during the week, I was sharing with Pastor Andrew, and I noticed that some of the things that he's preparing to share as from next week form part of the practical application I'm talking about. So I'm going to focus on the fact that, you know, he is leading us into a new adventure. Okay, I'm going to focus on the fact that Jesus is leading us to a path that we have not been before. He's doing something new, okay, among us. And he's doing something new in your life, in my life, in this church. You know, God is doing something new. He's doing something new. Even in our movements, he's doing something new. Hallelujah. He's doing something new. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are doing something good. Now, we're going to start with Leviticus 26, verse 10. Can I have the scripture, please? Father, we want to thank you for what you've begun in this place. We want to commit our hearts to you, Lord. And Father, we say, let your spirit flow. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us. Move, Lord. Holy Spirit, give life. Restore, resurrect. Father, heal. Holy Spirit, transform. Give salvation. Draw people to the kingdom today, Lord. Let your word come with power, signs, and wonder. I decree that Jesus, you increase. Amen. So, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. Make room for the new. Make room for the new. And we hear a few weeks ago about what Jesus, the parable that Jesus says to those people about the new wine and the new wine, the necessity of the new wine skin for the new wine. Amen? And Jesus said, there is no way we can add new wine to, or pour new wine to new into a new wine, into an old wine skin. Okay? But there is a necessity for the new wine to go into a new wine skin. So, you know, when God is doing something new, or when God is about to do something new, he requires a new heart disposition. He requires a new structure, I would say. New structure. Let's go into here. Let's go into the word. And I'm going to read quickly from Luke 5. Jesus said, or the Bible says, from verse 33. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Verse 36. Then he spoke this parable to them. No one put a piece from a new garment and on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear on and also the peace that was taken out of the new does not match to the old. 37, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. 38, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk. Oh, I'm going to stop here. So, now Jesus says here that we must put new wine into a new wine skins. Okay, into new wine skins. Now, the fundamental question we need to ask ourselves here, you know, what is he talking about? What is the new wine, the wine skins? What is Jesus talking about? You know, the question the Pharisees and the scribes came to us is about prayer and fasting. They say to Jesus, you know, those disciples of John and of the Pharisees, they fast and they make prayer. Now, your disciples, we've been observing them. They've been having party all the time. They don't fast, they don't pray. What is the matter? Where do you have your authority? Where do you get your authority from? Remember, Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Now, Jesus said to them, okay, when the bridegroom is taken away, then they're going to fast and pray, isn't it? Now, look at this. Is Jesus saying that we should not pray, we should not fast? Watch this. In chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and was led into the wilderness where he completed 40 days of fasting and praying. Chapter 4. And the Bible says that Jesus spent his time in the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. Amen? And at the end of those 40 days, the Bible says he returned into Galilee. He returned into the town. He returned into the city with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he returned with the power of the Holy Spirit, and news of him, news of Jesus, went all through the surrounding area. Let me tell you, news of you is about to go. I said news of you is about to go. News of this church is about to go. Hallelujah. Not only in this surrounding. News of this place is about to go. So we see Jesus began his ministry calling his disciples. He called his disciples, and then he was performing miracles, healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing the lepers. You know, he was doing all sorts of signs and wonders. Jesus. He was also associating himself with the people who were marginalized by the society. You know, those who their garments, the outward garment is written sinners by the sight of the scribes and Pharisees. You see, tax collectors, they don't like those people. But Jesus was associating with those people. He said, I did not come for those who are well. I came to save sinners. Now we come to Luke 5, this passage I just read. And the Bible says, they say to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so the disciples of the Pharisees, yours go on eating and drinking. So first, we must discern. We must establish the fundamental issue in here. We need to know why. What are they saying? They're not talking about prayer and fasting. These people, what are they saying? The issue with the scribes and Pharisees is not about prayer and fasting. The issue is about no conformity to the existing religious establishments. This is a doctor of, they say yes. Jesus would not conform to the religious establishment that is not fit for purpose. It is not fit for the glory of God. It is not fit for the coming of the Son of God. No, something must happen. That is the main issue. So Jesus gave the parable to address the religious system and establishment which is based on ritual principle that elevate people, not God. It is not about prayer and fasting. No. The issue is deeper than that. The issue is deeper than that. The issue is deeper than that. Jesus gave a ritual principle that gives glory to men, not to God. For example, publicly fasting. You know, I don't really know how they do it, fast publicly, but maybe they put, you know, I'm fasting today, 40 days, da-da-da-da. I'm not sure, but That is what they do, you know. publicly fasting and praying to demonstrate purity and holiness before men, displaying self-righteousness before men through selfish acts of ritual. This includes giving, you know, I want to give £20 or one, you know, I put it like this, yeah, I'm giving the biggest. You know, that's what they used to do. The giving, the sacrifices and the washings. They would observe all those things. Jesus discovered that this religious establishment and structure is not fit to contain the glory of God. This prompted Jesus to give one of the biggest, the best, the deepest teaching the world has ever known. Hallelujah. And Chris alluded to that this morning. The Sermon of the Mount. The Beatitude. Matthew 5. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in hearts. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed, blessed. Love your enemies. We find that from Matthew 5 to 7, chapter 5 to 7. Giving to the poor. Do not seek revenge. Do your fasting and prayer in secret. Do your fasting and prayer in secret. Do not judge. So the issue is not about fasting and praying. The issue is about the nonconformity to the existing religious establishment. I say that the issue is so deep. The issue is our hearts. The issue here is man's heart. Man's heart. Man's heart. So the second thing that we need to establish here is when the Bible talks about wineskin, what is the biblical symbolism or the biblical meaning for wineskin? The biblical. So wineskin represents the system, the structure, the disposition. Now, when I say disposition, I'm talking about our hearts, the willingness to cooperate with God and with His vision, our hunger to see God's kingdom come, the sacrifice that we need to make to see His kingdom and His purposes being established in our midst, in our lives first and in our midst. Hallelujah. So, disposition, heart disposition. Character. So when we talk about character, I'm talking about the reliability. How reliable are we? Integrity. Are we? Oh, I want to say integrity. It's a French word. Is it English word? Integrity. Yeah. Integrity. Integrity. So. Integrity is not English word, so, but it is French word. So, reliability, integrity, faithfulness. We were talking about faithfulness last time. One of, you know, the attributes, important attributes of faithfulness is integrity, oneness, one. Okay? I am one here, and I am one over there. You know, the way you see me here is the way I am and I should be in when you're not seeing me. That's integrity. And this is about our character. Humility and service. Humility and service. These are the things that need to come into place to usher the revival. Hallelujah. Strategies. I love Robin. Man, the man is full of strategy. He's thinking about strategy every day. He is innovating every day. Come on. Hallelujah. Wow. What shall we do? What shall we do? By the time you're thinking of this, he's discovering that. I said, come on, Robin, slow. You know, strategy to contain a spiritual formation that would allow God's presence and blessing or kingdom to be established among us. You see, without those things, there is no way that we see revival that can come and last. No way. No. Is that what you found? I didn't ask you to find anything. A system or structure that would usher and contain God's revival. God's, because the new wine represents God's blessing. The new wine represents God's kingdom. The new wine represents God's revival. The new wine represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, in the latest days, in those days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But before my Spirit come, there has to be a structure to contain the Spirit. Hallelujah. There has to be a structure to contain the Spirit. Hey, Jesus, help us. The new wine represents God's blessing, revival. And God is always doing new things. He said, behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. He's about to come. Hallelujah. It's about, he said, before you finish with what you are enjoying, the new one is coming. Are you ready? Oh, my goodness. Wow. You must, I mean, he wants us to move at a pace where, you know, the world will see and wonder, who are these people? Who are these people? So, time. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. No wonder this place is called Oasis. But there is a new type, a type of new wine that is coming. A type of new wine that is coming. We heard last week about that truck with water. And I'm kind of pondering, thinking, and meditating on that even right now. Water. Jesus said, if you believe in me, rivers of water will flow from you. Rivers. Imagine the truck is packed and water is flowing without ending. Hallelujah. Blessing to this area, to this nation. Hallelujah. To your family. Blessing. Do it, Lord. He said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Do it, Lord. There cannot be a tangible and lasting move of God without a new wineskin. So Jesus' parable here is to deal with the issue of the purity of hearts. The purity of hearts, of human hearts. You know, the motive of people's action. The Bible says, you know, man hearts, guard your heart. Because this is where the issue. Guard your heart. Our heart must be pure in this season. Say, my heart must be pure. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, purify my heart. Help me guard my heart. I want to be your vessel. I want to receive and contain the new wine. Purify my heart, oh Lord. Hallelujah. For the Shekinah glory of God to dwell among us in a tangible and lasting way, there must be a consecration. You know, this is the key word for the season, I believe. Consecration. You see, Joshua rise up and say to the people, consecrate yourself, because tomorrow God is going to do mighty among us. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. You see, we must consecrate ourselves in this season. We must consecrate ourselves. Are we ready to consecrate? Are we ready to separate? Are we ready to do these things that is required of us for the new wine to come? He said, and no one pours new wine into the old wine skins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wine skin will be ruined. You know. But in fact, Jesus has already started pouring out the new wine here. He has started pouring out the new wine. Hallelujah. He has begun pouring out the new wine. Look at your life. Look at your life. You know, now, can you identify with this? The past few days, the past few weeks, you know, there is a drawing in your heart, in your spirits, for sanctification. There is something stirring in your heart that says, no, you know, I want to worship more. I want to pray maybe a little bit more. I want to read the Bible maybe a little bit more. If something like that is happening, I want to see your hand. There is a drawing in your heart. There is a drawing in your heart. God is drawing you to Him. He's drawing you to the secret place. Hallelujah. You must not stop, because the process has begun. Hallelujah. He is transforming the old wineskin into the new, to contain the outpouring of the Spirit that is to come. Hallelujah. You must not stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. It is painful maybe sometime, because you're going to miss maybe few match, few game. I do watch Arsenal. They're playing tonight. The process is painful, because you must miss maybe few meals and fast. The process may be painful, because you must retract yourself from some vain discussions, because you need to guard your heart. The process has already begun. The Lord is drawing us deeper and deeper. You know, for few days or a few weeks now, the instruction that I received, and I, you know, this is something I used to do, but I stopped doing it. But the Lord said, you must pray in tongue for at least 1 hour non-stop. No, not just one day. Not just one day, many days. I mean, I know I must be doing this maybe every single day. But I've been able to do it every day. But, I've been praying non-stop in tongues. Non-stop. For hour and plus. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And then by when you are arriving to the 1 hour, you know, the drawing carry on, and you don't want to stop. You know, staying in that corner, that place, locked in your room or in one room where you just put worship or some songs, and all you want to do is to listen and be quiet and praise God in your heart. The process has already begun. Don't stop it. Keep going. Keep drinking that water. He says, deep cry out too deep. Go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper. The process has already begun. Make room for the new. Make room for the new. And the Lord would show you things. We, Pastor Robin, we've been encouraging, you know, people, this congregation to share what God has been saying to you. Some good stuff are coming. We're receiving what God is saying to you. But, you know, we know that God may be speaking to you. We want to hear it. Because there is no way, I don't know, there is no way you can go into that secret place and he will not talk to you. Last week we talked about the communicating God in Bromsgrove. The communicating God. He wants to talk to us. He wants to share. He wants to give us his heart. So let's do that. Stay in that. Amen. So we must make room for the new. Make room for the new. You know, and one of your questions is, how do we protect what we love and still embrace the new? How do we protect? How do we keep what we love and still embrace the new? Hallelujah. Because, you know, God is not saying that you should abandon everything. But, you know, the structure that are not fit for the purpose. How do we gently separate from those things? You know, those things. How do we adjust? The Holy Spirit will tell you. He will lead you. He will show you. In fact, he's been talking to you. Just God is patient. He's patient with us. He gave us time. So let's follow what the Spirit says. I must stop here. There are some practical application for this message. I mean, for not just for the message, for the season. For the season, when we're talking about new wineskin, making room for the new. You know, I want to contain, I want to contain his glory. I want God to use me. You know, oh, la, la. God is good. So we're going to be talking about, you know, the problem of human nature, okay, the problem of sin, and how do we embrace God's nature, you know. Andrew will share probably some of that. We're talking about Romans 12, you know, is can I have Romans 12 quickly? Romans 12, do we still have that? Do I have that? Oh, okay. He said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be renewed in your mind. Amen. I'm going to stop here because time has gone. We are 12 here now, or 2 minutes to 12. But I just want us to do one thing quickly. Worship team, can you come, please? I felt in my heart that we need to kind of consecrate ourselves. You know, we need to consecrate ourselves. And, you know, a consecration is a process. It's not just an act. It's a process, you know. We don't just come and say, Lord, okay, I consecrate myself, and then we go. No, consecration is a process. Hallelujah. But that process starts from somewhere, okay? The process starts from you acknowledging, Lord, here I am. I give myself to you. Sanctify me. Cleanse me. Help me to walk this walk with you. Amen? So if you want to consecrate yourself to God today, in order to contain the new move, the new wine that is coming, I just want you to stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Only if you want to consecrate yourself, you want to be part of the move, you want to be part of the army, you know, you want to say, Lord, I give myself to you for you to use me, for you to do whatever you want to do to bless other people. I want to contain your vessel. I want to contain your wine, your spirit. I want to carry your glory. Help me. And Isaiah said, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Hallelujah.